Mark's Gospel, chapter 4, and we'll begin in verse 1. And the Lord began again to teach by the seaside. And there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea. And the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. Now, that'd be a good problem to have, wouldn't it? A multitude like that. But listen to what he says. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, Hearken. Behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, but because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. And he said unto them, Unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. And he said unto them, Know ye not this parable? And how then will ye know all parables? Now this is a parable that is very known by most everybody. But in it, our Lord Jesus Christ teaches us a sobering word. Most who hear the gospel of the grace of God preached, even most that profess faith in Christ after hearing the gospel, are unregenerate, lost, and perish under the wrath of God. Now that's a sobering thought. That's a sobering thought. But it's an encouragement for a believer in a couple of ways. Because, one, the Lord here encourages us, he instructs us to take heed. He instructs us to give ourselves to the gospel, to know Christ the Lord, to make our calling and election sure. And on the other hand, he gives us encouragement as well to let us know that the word of the Lord doesn't return unto him void. It just does not return unto him void. And we'll look at that a little later towards the end, but let's go through this morning, and let's look at the Lord's word as he gives them the meaning of this parable. Verse 14, The sower soweth the word. The sower is the servant of God. Christ Jesus the Lord is truly the one who sows the word. He, in another spot, he puts himself in the parable and says it's the Son of Man who sows. And he truly is the one who sows the word. He sends forth his ambassadors, and they sow. But it's Christ who sows. His witnesses go forth, and they sow. But it's Christ who sows. Paul said, Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? He said, I've planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Well, then he says that the seed is the word. It's the word of the gospel of Christ. The gospel is concerning Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now, this is the gospel. The gospel is concerning Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus Christ is the way to the Father. There's a way that seemeth right unto man. Man's wisdom seems right unto him. Man's look at himself, or his look to himself, and sees some goodness in himself, and it seems right unto him. Man trusts in his will, and that seems right to him. Man looks to his works, and that seems right to him. But there's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Jesus Christ, the Lord, the Son of God, is the way. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And Jesus Christ is the truth. Not only did he teach the truth, not only did he preach the truth, he himself is the truth. Jesus Christ is the truth. Look with me over at John chapter 1. John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Look down at verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Look at verse 17. The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. He's the one who both declares the truth, and He Himself is the truth. That passage I just read to you out of 1 Corinthians, I read to you because Paul said, when I came to you, I came declaring the testimony of God, Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's the testimony of God. What does God have to say? Jesus Christ and Him crucified. He's the truth. He's the way, and He's the truth. We worship God in truth when we worship Christ Jesus the Lord in truth. Well, Jesus Christ is the life. He's the way, He's the truth, and He's the life. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. It's just that simple. He that hath the Son hath life. Can it ever be taken from him? Never can be taken from him. Can it ever be revoked for something that we do? Can ever be revoked. Is it eternal? It's as eternal as the Son is. If we have the Son, we have life eternal, because the Son's eternal life. He's the way. No man can come unto the Father but by Him. He's the truth. No man can come unto the Father but by Him. And He's the life. No man can come unto the Father but by Him. And so, in this Word of God, the seed is sown. The gospel of Christ, of Jesus Christ, and through it, God gives life. God gives life through the gospel in the inner man and creates life, like a seed goes into the earth and it springs forth and brings forth life. Peter said, we're born again not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away. That's what we are. That's all we are. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. So the sower is the servant of the Lord. It's his ambassador, his witness, who goes forth and sows the word, and the seed sown is the word. Now, first he says here to us, some hear and they receive the gospel as seed sown by the wayside. Look at verse 4, Mark 4, verse 4. It came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. Verse 15, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. Why are you here this morning? Why are you here this morning? Do you have a concern for your soul? Is it your chief desire to see the glory of God? Do you have any thought that eternity is a breath away? Why are you here? Why am I here this morning? The Lord Jesus Christ says that some hear the word that's going forth right now, they hear the word with no concern about any of these things. Absolutely no concern about their soul, about the glory of God, about eternity. They don't care about Christ Jesus, the Lamb of God, the one who made propitiation, satisfactions for the sins of His people. They don't care about God eternal, the eternal covenant of God that's yes and amen in Christ Jesus the Lord. They don't care a thing in the world about it. They hear the word and just dismiss it. I pray Christ would make us like Abraham. I pray He would make us like Abraham. When the fowls came down upon the carcass, Abraham fought them. He fought them away. I pray Christ would make us like that. How easily we're turned aside. With no thought about these things. These things are so important. It's so important. It's all that is important. Well, some are described as stony ground hearers. Look in verse 5. Mark 4, 5. Some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. Verse 16 says, the Lord says, and these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. Now, immediately some receive this word with gladness. They like a plant that just, you seem like you just planted the seed yesterday, and it just springs right up. It just comes right up. I've heard folks so often, they'll hear the gospel preached and get excited. Get excited. There'll be tears. There'll be great words of agreement with everything you said. They'll speak sometimes how they can't wait to come back, or how they can't wait to hear the gospel preached again. And they endure but a time. For a time. But they have no root in themselves. They have no root in themselves, the Lord said. There's no root in me or in you by nature. The only root that's in us by nature is the root of bitterness. That's the only thing that's in us by nature. There's no true God-wrought conviction in them. There's no God-given faith. There's no true repentance. Therefore, there's no commitment. No commitment. Affliction arises, persecution arises for the word's sake. Remember what we saw this morning? It's going to arise. If you claim to believe this gospel, persecution's going to arise. And immediately, as soon as they sprang up, immediately, just as fast as they received the word, they're offended. They're offended. The Lord said, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. not only persecuted, but who endure it, who continue, who stay, persevere, continue. It's a fight. Eric and I were just talking about how the war doesn't end when you first believe. When you start to believe the gospel, the war just starts. The war between the flesh and the spirit, the war between the new created man and the world, the war between what we now are by God's grace and what this world hates. And it's a warfare. It's a devastating warfare. And only the seed being implanted in us, God's grace sustaining us and keeping us by Christ, the incorruptible Word of God, is the only way we'll continue. And without Him, we just won't. We just won't. And then next we have here the thorny ground hearers. Verse 7. In his parable, he said, some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. Now, verse 18, he tells us the meaning. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. Now, the wayside hearer just doesn't have any interest whatsoever. Just no interest in the gospel whatsoever. As soon as he hears it, Satan comes, takes it away. Gone. The stony ground hearer springs up real fast and withers away about as fast as he springs up. But the thorny ground hearer is entirely different. Entirely different. He hears the word. At least with the mind, with the natural mind, he's enlightened by it. And at least with a carnal taste, he has a taste for it. And he goes for a long while in religion. Everyone around him thinks he's the genuine article, and he thinks it of himself. He's like the Pharisee whose life appears thoroughly godly. He's like the one who confesses his sin even. He cries tears like Esau and Judas. He gives like Ananias and Sapphira. He trembles at the word like Felix. He may preach. He may cast out devils. He may do many wonderful works in the Lord's name. He may be held in high esteem like Diotrephes. He may associate with men of high regard, like Demas. He might be as secure in his own mind like the five carnal virgins. But the thorny ground hearer says he says he agrees with Paul. When Paul says that Christ Jesus is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach. He'll say, I believe that's who he is. He'll say, I believe that Paul was exactly right when he said, no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus a curse, and no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. He's ever ready to proclaim the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, that no man can come unto me except my Father which is in heaven draw him. He'll say, I agree with the words of Christ Jesus when he said, he must work the works of him that sent him while it's day. The night cometh when no man can work. But now turn with me into Matthew chapter 6. And here's the stoning. The thorny ground hearer's problem right here. Matthew chapter 6. He doesn't believe the master when the master says this. Verse 24. No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Hold your place right there for a moment. the Master said here when he started this parable, he said, hearken. Hearken. I'll tell you what, when I hear this, when I consider this, when I'm studying this, I'm preparing this myself, and I'm praying for the Lord to give me the word to speak and to apply it, however it needs to be applied into the hearts of His people. And I read these things, I study these things, and I look into these things. This makes me stop. It makes me stop. And it makes me commune with my own heart. But I'll tell you what it makes me do most. It makes me cast my care on the Lord and say, Lord, make me to know. Make me to know that I'm yours. Lord, keep me. Keep me. Make me to behold your goodness. Make me to behold how wonderful you are. Make me to behold how eternally secure I am in you. And make me to forsake everything. Make me to forsake everything. Because I see this in me. I see this in myself. Worldliness. Worldliness. The cares of this world might be justifiable in your own mind. The cares, the running after riches, material possessions may seem to you as no real harm. The lust of other things, fame, acceptance, position, power, sensuality, pleasure, they may seem like they're yours for the taking. And you might not find anything wrong with taking them. But the Lord says, it's a briar patch. I mean, it just doesn't get any plainer, does it? Our Lord spoke these words in the plainest language. And the plainer He spoke this language to that great multitude, the more confused most of them were that heard it. I just don't understand what He's talking about. The Master says these things don't do anything but choke the word, and the thorny ground hearer becometh unfruitful. Unfruitful. He said, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. I think about Jesse leaving. You're going to college. It won't be long. Carol will be right behind you. AJ's leading the way. He's already gone. Robert will be, it won't be no time, Robert. I'll be getting an invitation from you. You'll be wanting a present. But I'll tell you what, the saddest thing, the saddest thing would be for you to go there because your parents want you to get an education, they want you to have a comfortable living, they want you to have a good job, they want the best for you. But you see those things, those worldly pursuits, making a name for yourself, trying to climb as high as you can climb in this world. And I read somewhere where they said that they polled some kids and did a poll, and they asked them, what is something that you admire in your father that you think is what every child ought to grow up to be? And the children talked about the size of the house, the kind of car they drove, and how much they got to go to sporting events. And that was the predominant across the board. That was what the children admired the most. Why not? Isn't that what we teach them? Isn't that exactly what we teach them? Oh, but if you just hear what the Lord is saying, hear what the Master is saying, it is absolutely, absolutely impossible to try to serve this world. And that's exactly what men do when they try to go after riches and worldly lusts and these things that he mentions here. Brethren, that's exactly what we're doing. We're trying to serve the world when we're living for these things. Now, when you start living for these things, they'll be good at first. And then you'll get a taste of them, and you want some more of them. And you'll get some more of them, and you'll want more of them. And when you've got them all, you still hadn't got enough. It hadn't satisfied you. It has not brought you to a place where you're satisfied. But what the Lord says it has done is it's completely choked you out. Choked you completely out. I was talking with a friend yesterday, and we were talking about some of the things that's been in the news lately. And this friend of mine, he's a songwriter, and we were talking about a friend that we have. It's a mutual friend who's an artist, a recording artist, sings, and he's done really well. And he's just telling me about all the toys he has and all the things he has. He said his housekeepers have assistants. His housekeepers have housekeepers. And just to, if he wants something, he just goes out and get it. But he just cannot, my friend just cannot be satisfied. He's not satisfied. When he's not hearing the applause of men, he's miserable. Absolutely miserable. But you know, I thought when you get in that spot, pride won't let you get out of it. You choked. Pride won't let you get out of that. Unless God deliver you, there's no hope. Absolutely no hope. Because you can't get, you got too much invested. You can't get away from it. Well, look over at Matthew 6, back over there with me. I want you to listen to this. Matthew 6:25. And I spent a little more time here because this seems to be where we are in our day in this world. So much. Matthew 6:25. Listen to this. Now, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. This is the Master speaking. This is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. If anybody's going to tell you the truth, this is who's going to tell you the truth right here. Take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air. They sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? Those are the things the world seeks after. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. That's all I need to know. That's all I need to know, that my heavenly Father knows I have need of these things. I'm gonna just ask one of you kids. I mean, Sarah, let me ask you this. And don't be like Will. You don't have to answer. This is just a rhetorical question. Your mom and dad. Your mom and dad provide for you. And do you worry about that? You don't get up in the morning fretting and worrying and running all over the house trying to figure out what am I going to do today for food and for clothing and all those things, do you? because you know your daddy's going to provide them, don't you? That's all we need to know. Do you believe that? You believe God? He said, I know you have need of these things. I'll provide them. If we go after them anyway, we're saying, I don't believe you'll provide them for me. I tell you, if your father saw you get up in the morning and go around like you don't trust him, like you think you got to feed yourself, he'd set you down. Say, now wait a minute, I'm the head of this house. I'm feeding you. Don't you worry about it. Trust me. That's what our Lord said. Now look here. Verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. When you need them, He knows what you need, when you need it, how you need it, how much you need, and how little you need, when you need to be taken away from it. Those other things will be taken care of. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. That means seek Him all the time. Seek His righteousness. Christ Jesus the Lord is the righteousness of God. The righteousness of God is manifest in Him. He justified His people. He justified God in justifying His people. He's just and the justified. The righteousness of God is in Him. Seek His righteousness and seek that which He says is right. Look at verse 34. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Isn't there enough evil today without worrying about tomorrow? There's enough today that you is totally, absolutely, utterly out of my hands and yours, right now here today, to be worrying about what's totally, absolutely outside of our hands tomorrow. He said, seek me, seek my face, and trust me. I know what my children have need of, and I'll provide it. We either believe Him or we don't. That's why the Lord said you can't serve two masters. You either believe Him and serve Him and trust Him, or you don't. That's just how it is. You say, I'll be my own provider. I'll provide my own righteousness. I'll provide my own. And if you go after these worldly things, I guarantee you, you'll also think you provided your own righteousness. You'll think you've worked out a righteousness for yourself. You'll think you provided everything else for yourself too. I guarantee you. And the sad thing about the thorny ground hearer is he don't know. He don't have one clue where he's at, the condition that he is in, until he wakes up one day and hears the Lord Jesus Christ say, depart from me. Everything that you've ever done has been nothing but works of iniquity. I never knew you. I never knew you. Now that's a sad case. But back in our text, that's not where it ends. Look back here with me. But out of these four, we find this next one. The true believer who receives the gospel in good ground. Look at Mark 4, verse 20. These are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, some 100. This good ground is the heart that's prepared by God the Holy Spirit. It's a regenerate heart. It's a new heart. It's a pure heart. It's a heart where that sharp plow of God's law has tilled deep, deep, deep to the very stony ground of our heart, and it's bursted asunder. This is that gospel that has come forth, and it's broken up the ground. It's broken up our ground and broken it into pieces, and the thunderings and the lightnings of God's wrath upon us has brought us into conviction before God Almighty. The ground has been prepared by God. The stones have been taken out. The stony heart's been taken out. And a heart of flesh has been put in. The ground's been prepared by God. And then the Lord says this. I love this over. And you can turn here with me if you'd like. Deuteronomy 32:2. I thought this was just so appropriate here. This is the Lord God speaking through Moses. Moses is given this song. But listen to this. And I thought, this is just after he's broken the ground and he's cut deep and he's beaten the clods of our vain confidence into pieces and he's taken out all the stones out of the field and he's given us this heart of flesh. Look now, verse 2. My doctrine shall drop as the rain. You need rain. If crops going to come forth, seeds going to come forth, got to have rain. My doctrine. Oh, they preach too much doctrine down there. Well, he said, my doctrine shall drop as the rain. My speech, that's what his doctrine is, his speech, shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, as the showers upon the grass. Because I'll publish the name of the Lord. What else you gonna publish? Nothing else to publish. I'll publish the name of the Lord. Ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He's the rock. He's the rock. You know that the word rock is used 18 times throughout the Old Testament. 18 times it's used. And when the Lord said to Peter, on this rock I'll build my church, he wasn't talking about Peter. He's talking about himself. He's the rock. All other ground sinking sand. It may appear as though you got some stability, but it's all sinking sand. He's the rock. And his work is perfect. It's perfect. It's perfection. Everything about his work is perfection. No flaw in it. It's perfection. All his ways are judgment. That means they're right and they're true. He's a God of truth and without iniquity. There's no hypocrisy in what he says or what he does. What our Lord spoke when he stood there to that multitude. No hypocrisy in it. No iniquity in what he said. Everything that he says is true. He's just and he's right. And the believer hears the word. And he receives it by God's grace. And it brings forth fruit. It brings forth fruit. He believes God. He turns from his way and believes God. It brings forth fruit. He delights to ascribe greatness to God. He believes, God is my rock. His work is perfect. I trust that he knows me and knows everything I need. And I'm going to heed his instruction and follow after him first in everything I do. Continually, always. Lord, keep me following you continually, always. It brings forth fruit. Some it brings forth 30-fold. Some it brings forth 60. Some it brings forth 100. Brings forth different fruit in different measures, in different ones. But it always brings forth fruit. It always brings forth fruit. And the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness and temperance. And God says, and against those things, against the fruit that I grow, against the fruit that I, the product of my husbandry, he said, there's no law against any of that. Not any law against it. Because it's right and it's true and it's perfect. And it's the fruit he produces. Now, I said to you, brethren, that this parable is to you who are being taught by the Master right now in your heart. And I'll give you two things to take home. Here's the first one. Hearken. Take heed. Hold fast this gospel. Hold it fast. I like this back up there in Mark 4:13. He said unto them, know ye not this parable? How then will ye know all parables? I mean, it's simple. It was so simple. Think there was any worldliness in his people? Think there was any of these descriptions applied to his disciples? All of them. But did he upbraid them? Did he turn them away? Did he? No. He said, how are you going to know? This is so simple now. How are you going to know unless you got to know? I got some more things to say to you that's a lot deeper than this. That goes a lot stronger meat than this. If you can't get this, how are you going to know that? If you're not giving yourself to learn of this, how are you going to know that? How are we going to know? Look at verse 10. When he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked him. They just came and asked him. How about that? How about we do that? Just go ask him. Just go ask him. He answered them, didn't he? He said, unto you it's given to know the mystery. The gospel is taught in the heart of a sinner by Christ Jesus through the Holy Spirit, just as real, just as effectually as it was here when he spoke to them. Just as real. There's no bounds between Christ and his people. None. He's conquered the bounds. He's made his people draw nigh to him. Just go ask him. And abide in him. He said, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except you abide in me. I'm the vine, you're the branches. He that abideth in me and I am in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. But here's the second thing. This parable is an encouragement, because we're going to see, and this is an encouragement to me, because you see folks go absolutely unaffected. Just water off a duck's back. And we'll see some who will hear the gospel preached and they'll rise up immediately. And immediately they'll wither. I thought about this week. I thought, you know, the hardest, most difficult heartbreak, I think, would be to preach the gospel to somebody for a number of years and to be so confident in their testimony, to trust that they truly know the Lord, and for one day to find out they didn't know anything all along. That'd be heart-wrenching. It'd be heart-wrenching. I think it would be worse than losing a loved one that died. I really think it would be. And it'll probably happen. I pray it don't happen to any of you that I'm talking to. I pray it don't happen. I pray for that. I told you that this brings me to pray for myself, and it brings me to pray for you. I pray that don't happen. But if it does happen, here's what we know, brethren. God's word hadn't returned to him void. It's accomplished exactly what he sent it forth to accomplish. It fulfilled the purpose that he preordained for it to accomplish before the foundation of the world. And we have to just rest right there. I'll get you to turn over to Isaiah 55:10. Isaiah 55:10. You notice that these ones that didn't believe, brethren, they didn't believe because they didn't want to believe. If a man perishes, it's going to be our will never to come to Christ, never to receive these things, never to hear it, never to heed this instruction. It's going to be our fault if we perish. If we come to him, it's all together by God's irresistible grace. No man wants to come to him. No man's willing to come to him. But if we come, it's going to be by his grace bringing us to him. That's what we see in the fact that men won't come to him. But if we see any fall away or go unaffected by these things, listen to this word, Isaiah 55:10. As the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it. Now here is his primary purpose in sending forth this word. Ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. That gives me encouragement. That gives me encouragement. You know, I was going through these today, this morning, looking over my notes again, and I thought, is this going to be comforting to the Lord's people? But as I went and I began to see, I thought, this is comfort. The Lord wouldn't have said this if it wasn't comfort for the saints. This is comfort for the saints. Well, this is the doctrine of the Master, and he says, hearken, hearken. And he that hath an ear, let him hear. All right, Eric.